When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
What's up, people?
You're locked into the
2 Pro One Slow podcast. Brought to you by KexUnderwear.com. The best underwear in the action sport game.
You ready? Everyone ready? Rolling.
Yeah.
Oh,
let's
good.
Start.
Right, well, we're back. Yeah. We're back again for. Do you know what episode we're on?
No, but I'm going to guess 27.
No, big 30.
Really?
Yeah, we're big 30.
Catching up yours lot. Used to.
I hate it when I bang my chin on the mic.
What?
When I just bang my chin on the mic.
This is a bit of a last minute ordeal.
They're good, that's better.
We've all stood here and decided we've got nothing to do, so we'll do it.
We've just been chatting about Keith's Cafe. Should we give him a shout out?
Yeah.
Yeah, Keith Staines.
I forgot the name of it already. And I was only there. I was there for the trial run, which was last Thursday. They were like testing it out for the staff and stuff like that. And I just happened to be passing and phoned him to see if it was open. And he said, yeah, come. So.
Is it a motorbike cafe?
No, nothing to do with motorbike. Just like a normal.
But it's near Ashby Motor Park.
It's for Keith's daughter.
So the guy who owns Ashby Motor Park, I can find out the name of the cafe, so we're not sending everyone to Ashby Motor Park thinking it's...
Well, if you ride Ashby Motor Park and you want it somewhere to go after, that's a nice
after
place.
After or before. Breakfast really good. There's breakfast and dinner like your typical deli style cafe, but I was most impressed.
Don't worry, Keith's not serving you the food. Or he's not hanging around. It's Keith's wife and his daughter. So it's a pleasant atmosphere.
Look at that, look. We're less than a minute in and we're already giving tips away of where to eat and what to do.
It's nice.
Top tier. Anyway.
Should we talk about the ride day we've just done?
The vlog went out last night. How did you vlog?
Yeah, we can talk about how Billy rushed me into posting my video. And then 20 minutes before said he's posting his foot peg one. So then mine went out. Now it's the worst watched video.
He's not happy. Which I'm actually...
Yours went well.
Now, explain to people that... don't understand the back end of YouTube what posting on the same day does. You'll be able to explain this better.
I thought it wasn't... I thought we shouldn't post them together, in all honesty. It was you that thought we should.
Well, realistically, for a quick YouTube lesson, when you post something on YouTube every week, the same time, every time, YouTube know that you're going to do it or think you're going to do it and then help promote your channel. We posted a video on Sunday night rather than Monday night and it flopped.
But Sunday night's usual for me.
Yeah, but Monday night's usual for Tommy's channel.
I'll be honest, I did think he was going to get upset on even on like Wednesday when I was like, oh, well, my video is ready. And Raptor released the foot pegs, the 52 editions, and I'd done...
50 what?
52, yeah, that wasn't good. 57, but we've got two. One's going to get a giveaway. Should we do it? Have we announced?
You've done your Raptor giveaway, yeah. We'll talk about the ride day first in a minute. I just got to give you a bollocking first, the pair of you.
Oh,
we've had negative comments from our viewers.
What for?
You two chirping over Ben Watson last week.
Yeah,
not like letting
three
him talk.
People.
That was me though, not you.
Three people this weekend at Western come up to us and said, "Good progress again. Would have been better if we talked more." Yeah. And I didn't realise we did that.
I haven't listened to it back.
Never have
I. I know at the time I did talk over him quite a lot. Sorry, Ben.
That's why I was trying to say we get a guest on. Let's talk about the guest.
Yeah, no,
yeah, but
I didn't.
He did talk. I don't. Well, obviously,
no, I sort of agree.
The evidence is stacked against me. We've had more than one person see it, so I'm not going to try and claim that we didn't do that. Apologies. The next guest will be better.
There was a reason behind it. I've said to Ed beforehand, when we get a guest on, we need to just let them talk. And then, but with Ben on, he's talked about in a different episode, and I wanted to keep it lighthearted because he's had a tough year. And then if he'd have gone into the hole, it would have fucking. I wanted everyone to keep it chirpy, so...
We didn't want to send everyone away from our viewing.
So I thought
upset.
We'd keep it lighthearted.
But in general, I think it was... I haven't listened to it back, but while we were having the chat, I thought it was going to do Ben the world of good to kind of explain his point of view.
I've seen him after. I went trials riding with him a couple of days after. There's a vlog coming on that as well. But he said he had some positive comments. He was very grateful
was for
them all. And he also sold a bit of merch, so he was well happy.
Win, win, win.
Aye. Apart from no one knew his story and you upset all our viewers, but...
No, I think someone I read one that said best one yet.
That was good, right? The ride day then. So do you want to talk about that? Tommy's Backyard Designs, Kex 2 Pro 1 Slow ride day that He organised all himself again.
The Tommy Searle Show.
No, apparently you reckon you organised some this time.
I think
I was pretty heavily involved.
You organised most of it, but I'm pretty sure I'd done most of the website and all the other shit.
Yeah, you done the behind.
Well, realistically, all you did was book the track, which you do. You do. That's part of your daily life anyway. You do that 3 times a week as it is. So
don't knock him.
No, you don't. It, to be fair, it doesn't take much organising. The first one did take a little bit more, and but in general, it was just a nice day. We went to VIP MX. Nice to see. Just nice to spend a day with people that watch the videos. The kids. Ride around with the kids, and it was almost just a day where you can hang out, and we was lucky with the weather. Obviously, it makes a huge difference to a day like that. So the weather was bang on, and there's not really much to talk about, but it was just a mega day, cool. And every year it's cool, nice
right? to do. I think we don't realise, I think, how special a day it is, because it's just a normal day for us to kind of hang out.
Nor does anyone else, because they didn't watch it because you dropped the video at the wrong time.
No, they can go and watch that. Go and watch Tommy's latest video on his channel. It's
the reason I didn't want to drop the videos together was because they are quite different. Like, yours is actually done properly by Ed. Mine's kind of mainly just me talking about ride nutrition and then my GoPro.
And your broken finger.
Yeah, I'm being a victim about my broken finger.
No, I watched yours. It was good. But I do agree with you. And as a day, a lot of people commented that the kids, I remember days like that when I rode with someone. I still remember being at Mildenhall watching Carl Nunn hit the jump. So I can imagine I was probably 10 years old. So I can imagine the same thing that the kids have seen, 10 years old and then watching us hit the jump. So it's a nice thing to look back on. And I think people said that you don't realise that you are, the kids look up to you. And then when they see a day like that, so it's nice to, it's nice to do that. Nice to feel that we're having a positive impact. And I hope next year it can be bigger again. But it takes a little bit of organisation. Not so much organisation, but in the season everyone's racing. So it's what times you do it. I'd like to do a summer one where it's a little bit more...
I think we could maybe
predict the weather a little bit more.
Yeah, we were doing a summer one in the week though, couldn't we?
Yeah, that goes into the evening a bit.
Yeah.
That would probably, I've just thought that. I did also recognise quite a lot of people that were there last weekend, this weekend, come up and said hello and stuff like that, which, and everyone was very positive and thankful.
So no, it's good. I think the one thing that we not struggle with, or the one thing that we don't want to do, is make it too busy that it takes you too long to then get back out on your bike.
Yeah, yeah. It's a fine line. Yeah.
It's a fine line between having enough time.
You need 2 tracks.
Yeah, I agree. 2 tracks would be good.
Because we sold out with that one with a week to go, and we didn't push it really that hard. We was going to push it again. I spoke to Rich at VIP, and I was like, do you want to put that out? And he said, well, how many riders you got? And I told him, he's like, oh, no, like, stop it all, really. Stop the bookings, because the car park, the track, you don't want it too busy, that the classes are too busy, and it's quite a small track there. But then it's finding a track to go to. I'd quite like to go to, like, a... not so much a practice track, but like a track like Hawkstone Park or something. But then you forget how much is involved in running a track. Like VIP had probably 10 staff there on that day.
Yeah, a lot.
Then you've got marshals, you've got
I'm prepping it the day before.
If you went to somewhere like Hawkstone Park, it'd be amazing. But you could probably rent a track for as cheap as what it cost us to rent VIP. But then you've got everything on top, like staff, marshals.
I think also Hawkstone would be more, to be fair.
No, mate,
but you can't see Hawkson either. That, the good thing with the British practice track, people have ridden those tracks.
Not the best for interacting, really. Like, I suppose
no,
it's too big as well. Like, you can't send 60s off into the woods and hope that they come back.
No, that's what you'd need marshals and dads. But it was.
But that's not what the day's about, is it? Really, the day's
it's nice
about
that we can see. Like, we could even when we weren't on the track, we can look out onto the track.
Yeah,
and see.
True.
But yeah,
it'd be nice to
let
me
know in the comments where you think we should go to.
But I'm just saying, like, a track that doesn't get used every week could be a real
I agree
cool
with
place.
That.
People go, like, I haven't rode there. That'd be amazing to go there. Like,
but some people hadn't ever ridden VIP, especially people that live down, like, south. They drove up
for it. One fella got 2 tracks in one day, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, poor lad. Yeah. Poor guy. He went to Apex. Poor chap. Told me. Oh,
I did see about 15 issues at the end of the day in my request saying, where is it? Where is it? We're at Apex. And then he'd come from Guernsey, was it, or Jersey?
Jersey, one of the two. I think it was Jersey.
Yeah, he told me he'd been over here for 4 days and still managed to miss it. Give him a pair of keks, though. Cheer him up.
He got one session at the end, didn't he? Bless him.
I also did tell him he could come for free next year.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
your bit.
Get loads of people claiming that they've been at the wrong track next year.
No, I know which one it was.
But no, it was good. Good day. And then, as Ed said, see if you can put something in the comments of where to go next year, because it would be it needs to be bigger, but at the same time,
my suggestion too big for the track. My suggestion would be, I know the track people don't necessarily like tracks much, but Fat Cats for the parking facility. Park everyone in a big circle. Park us in the middle with the DJ and all that in the middle, and then everyone feels like you're involved.
Facility is so good there.
Don't know if I meant to say this, but I think they're building an enduro cross track too.
Yeah, so you have enduro cross.
Listen to this podcast, you get all of the.
Sorry, Martin, if I'm not supposed to say that.
It'd be. Has he not? No, it'll be fine.
No, well, they've released dates of like this. I'm not going to say that. I think that's fine.
Another super enduro UK cross.
Yeah, I think so.
Let's change the subject before Bill drops himself right in it.
Who's running that?
I honestly don't. I know nothing about it. I just know that that's what's
sounds like a bit
hoping to happen. You're gonna. You think you're in there?
It's got that bike.
I think it would be good. Like I honestly think
four strap be all right round.
I honestly think on a relatively easy super enduro track, like not. It shouldn't be as difficult as what a world championship round is, but relatively easy. Like a lot of motocrossers could have a go because they ride. So, like, if riding the track aggressively and hitting stuff hard and stuff like that is kind of the opposite vibe to how most enduro and especially like trials enduro riders ride.
Yeah.
And I think it would make such good racing seeing the contrast between like a motocross guy who's not scared of, because realistically, hitting a jump with a log on the top is kind of the same as hitting it with a big dipped out.
Yeah, well, that's why when he goes on about like scared of rocks, I think, how can you be scared of rocks? It's no different to hitting a massive square edge.
It just looks different, but if you just get your head around it and you know you're set and you're ready for a kick and you hit it, it's the same thing. So like I think a lot of motocross guys could go and actually really enjoy it and be competitive, and it would be so good to watch the contrast in styles.
I know the track last year when we went to Thingy and Tom. I raced you
at Tom.
The track was really really easy, but it's the same. No, but like, once I actually attacked it, it was generally enjoyable.
A track
that track
of that difficulty, I think you could have such good racing between an enduro or even just get a trials rider and say, yeah, go around there as fast as you can. I think it'd be so good to watch.
Mike Brown.
Good sport, isn't it?
Yeah, Mike Brown was competitive even in the World Championship.
Yeah, and he's, he's good at everything, but he comes straight basically from motocross to super enduro.
And the motocross guys are going to have such that intensity in the corners, down the straights, like everywhere else. You know, they're not going to be scared of running someone wide, and then but then obviously a lot more chance of them getting in trouble, whereas the enduro guy is going to ride around them, less mistakes, less waste of energy. I think it would even itself out on an easy track and make good racing. Now obviously you're not going to make the track too difficult where everyone's stuck in the level. The track needs to be thought of properly, but I think it could be really really good from a spectator point of view and enjoyable, something different for like the motocross guys that are kind of stuck within, you know, they go at the same few practice tracks, they all race the same people on a weekend. I think for a lot of British motocross guys, it could be quite a cool avenue for them to look at.
It was fun. That little one at Tong was real fun.
Yeah.
I thought we're in the pipeline of trying to rebuild our one, aren't we?
Yeah, but mix of all sorts. Again, because it set off originally ours have been intentions of kind of using it for training. Which I would like to do, but every time...
I've not seen you ever put more than
one.
But
that's the thing, like, the last 2 weeks would have been the perfect time to use it by being injured. And then it was the same the year we built it. I had something wrong with us. Like, every time when the weather's been good, kind of like late September, October, when it is the time I need to start riding super enduro and the weather's good enough here, I've been injured. So, and at the same time, you know, the middle of the winter, the weather's just not good enough in this country. You can't rely on it, so I need to be in Spain. So it's better off being a track where we can all kind of use.
Where you can just not have to be like fully in the zone, but you can actually just jump on it and enjoy a few laps.
Like an easy track, bit like Tong, but a bit more jumpy, I think, because we've got the elevation and so much dirt and decent dirt. We make a track where we can all kind of cruise about, do some jumps, maybe some little transfers.
Half arena cross, half.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, I think we could just build an arena cross track as well.
What, build two tracks? Yeah. Well, we need someone to do it, but...
We need an over-under built.
Yeah, someone reckoned it cost 100
Yeah, we had
grand
a quote for an over-under, which was ridiculously sky, like hundreds of thousands, which I'm not...
It wasn't a quote. That was just what someone said it was
going to be. Well, yeah, not a quote, but I think an over-under, and then you can go into that next little bit of field.
Yeah. Well, we're going to end up tearing a bit more grass out. The planet... Well, we're actually trying to get the two track builders that build the World Supercross, but
no one can be asked to come to
they're quite tricky to get hold of. Justin Barclay and Alfie Smith.
Come build our track. Get your ass here now.
We'll pay you. We will pay you.
I spoke with Adam last night, Chatfield. He says we've got to ask Justin's missus, and then she tells him to come build the tracks.
Right, we'll tell her.
I said that. I said, I don't know.
You're going to have so many people claiming they can drive diggers now after that.
Yeah, I've had a few.
But no, it would be good. Well, I might ride arena cross. It looks like I probably will. So.
Oh,
okay. Fucking hell. Dropping that in there.
Well, I don't know. It's not actually confirmed.
Is it confirmed that it's happening?
No. Right. I haven't even asked my team yet.
Talk to us about arena.
No, that's what I mean. Is it confirmed that the arena cross is going to happen? Yeah, that's all right.
Do you want me to read an email I got from Matt Bates with the ruling in it? Because he changed the ruling, didn't he?
No, you don't need the email, but...
No, but now we can inform our guests of the ruling.
Nothing. He's not paying any riders.
All right.
It's just prize money, but I think it's good to do the arena cross. Purely, when I was a kid, we raced arena cross, and I like it that... I think for the sport in general in the UK, arena cross is a positive. I think that if you can get the young kids racing it from a young age, it develops their skill set. It develops like their race craft. It's something that I done. All the top boys as kids used to race it like it was just a thing. If you was good, you raced arena cross.
Something cool in the winter as well.
Yeah, something to do in the winter. All the way up through, I raced it in the 60s, 80s, big wheels, 125s. And even my first couple of years pro, I raced it with Molson Kawasaki when I signed for Factory KTM. I also raced it, went to Belfast on a Factory KTM, went to Sheffield my years of Factory KTM. So I think that the excuse that some of the young riders use that, we're going to focus on outdoors. You're just a kid, like just go race. You're better off learning how to race than to just sit and go practice on a weekend at Fat Cats. It's better being a good racer. And I think when I was young, I can remember everything about Exeter Supercross, the whoops, being on the podium, the nerves beforehand, watching the top boys going through the whoops.
I would say Max Anstey is probably a good person to talk to about
all
that
of because them
he was the man on the 85.
It's never going to replace Supercross, is it? It's never going to be as big as Supercross, but it's just nice to have something. Yeah, but it's nice to have some. We're never going to have Supercross in England, is what I'm trying to say.
No,
you're never going to put a Supercross stadium, a championship. Yeah. You're never going to put a Supercross stadium in every football stadium of England, are you? Like, that's just not going to happen, but it's nice to have something which is along those lines and similar, and a kid can go to and like. Hit a finish jump for the first time and ride indoors. Because even just riding indoors, I think, is such a buzz.
Yeah.
Like, every time I go to a stadium for a super enduro,
it's a complete different hearing that around, bike.
Around the back, even just kind of all of that stuff, parking and around the back of the stadium and like, cruising about. And then, like you said, the complete bike indoors and everything like that. I just think it's such a buzz. And
being
I still,
in like a town.
Yeah, in the city, hotels, walking from hotels. The hotel. Yeah, it's such mad. A cool vibe.
It makes you more nervous in general being in that stadium. And I think if the kids done it young, that when they get older, because everyone done it, like I can remember watching Ben Watson on a 50. I was on the 125s at the time, was having that conversation. Max Anstey on the 60s. Jake Nichols, the one podium, was me and Jake. We all done it, and all the professionals done it as well. Mm. Like all the UK top riders done it. And it's a shame that it's got to a point where everyone isn't, it's not just a guaranteed thing that everyone goes and races.
And I also think
I would like it to be that again.
Like Ed just said, it's why do you need 6 months off or 5 months off without any racing?
No, it's cool, isn't it? It's something to watch. I think it's like an entertaining thing. Again, another good thing to get people that aren't necessarily into the sport because you go there with your family, you're not piss wet through. You can sit and have a hot dog and a beer and go.
As a family, go out for food, then you go watch the Supercross.
I was speaking to Dougie at the weekend, and he was saying, because obviously they've got Sheffield Indoor Trial come back this year, because Sheffield Arena was basically on the verge of closing or whatever, and then they had like a plan of 10 events that were going to try and save it, blah, 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 and it seems like it's been successful. But he was saying now, most events that happen at Sheffield Arena start at 4 and finish by 7, just because...
Because
of families, it's too expensive for people to get hotels and spend the night away somewhere. So that might be worth looking at for them. I guess they probably already had similar conversations. They're not stupid. Do you know what I mean? But
I think it kind of makes sense. It's more like that anyway.
It kind of makes sense to start early, finish early. People, if you don't mind driving a couple of hours, if you're going to be home by 11 or 12 at the latest.
Well, we did it in Cardiff, didn't we? And we was out the stadium by 9 o'clock.
Yeah, that's quick. I think
it's at 5.
Makes way more sense to do that. Kids can come and watch and they're not falling asleep by the main event. So some of my races go on, like last race is like 10:30 at night, and it's just like, this is too much. People aren't enjoying sat in the stand.
Asleep.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, in fact, your second day of last year's Super Enduro, the Sunday when it started in the day,
yeah,
was way better.
Also way better, yeah.
And then we was all done at dinner by 7 o'clock.
The night I won the championship, we couldn't even find a restaurant. We had pizzas in the hotel, takeaway pizzas, and then we got kicked out the hotel bar because we weren't allowed to bring outside food in. This was like 12 at night.
Not that it made much difference to Bill, because then the next night, even though it finished at 5, at 11:45 at night, he was still stood in an Irish bar in his full gear.
Boots the lot.
Was that last year?
Yeah. No, this year. This year end of this. Yeah. Beginning of this year. March-ish
time. Funny.
I remember seeing the videos.
Yeah, well, that
very funny.
Boots on the lot. Walked back to the hotel, still in my boots.
Why? No. Cold just, champagne still on your shirt.
Because what happened was, we went from the podium straight to the press conference, which, like, I didn't have time to get changed. Actually, well, I went back and put my coat on because I was actually a little bit cold. And then the press conference was in, like, the VIP area of the stadium, which there was a free bar, free food, everything. So I was like, oh, I might as well stay here. So I phoned everyone and said, you might as well come here. The bar's free. The food, there's still food out. So everyone came there. We obviously outstayed every single one of the VIP guests until they were literally closing the doors of the stadium.
They were turning the lights off.
They came and got us in, like, we're locking the stadium for the night. You just have to leave. Which was like 9:30.
Where was this?
In a town called Risa. There's not much happens in it. Ah. Usually, to be fair, the race organised quite a big after party in the hotel. There's like a nightclub in the hotel, but...
COVID,
they still weren't allowed to do it. Ah. So
it was touch and go whether it was even going to run that event.
Yeah, that's why it ended up being a 2-day event, because they were only allowed half capacity crowd. So they split it over 2 days. And I think they did some kind of deal where they were allowed 2 rounds for the same
price.
Where
was that? Germany?
Germany, yeah.
Mm. Are we going to go to his first one?
Krakow. I was actually looking at the flights the other day from the UK. They're quite cheap at the minute. A lot of airports you can fly to Krakow from. I think for yous, I was looking at Luton.
What date's that?
10th of December.
Oh, could do, actually.
So you'd leave 9th, back 11th.
I've got a couple of trips to Spain. I think I'm in Spain.
Oh, yeah.
I'm doing coaching days in Spain.
I'll be in Spain just before that, so that might line up to do something. But anyway, Krakow, well, they're all very good, to be fair, but Krakow is a really good one to go and watch. The stadium's right in the middle of the city. Like, you don't need a hire car or anything. You can get a taxi from the airport to the stadium, hotels, restaurants, everything's there, and it is probably the biggest stadium of the year. So Krakow's a good one to go and watch.
And it's a nice town, isn't it?
Yeah, cool town.
You should do some vlogs on this, like telling people where to go. And
that'd be good, wouldn't
Speedway
it?
Is Krakow, isn't it? Big in Speedway.
Is it Krakow?
I think so. I'm sure I've seen it on like a world... I'm sure there's a round in that same stadium.
Yeah, I've seen videos of the stadium.
Speedway.
Yeah. Poland's, well, Speedway is big in Poland anyway, to be fair.
Yeah, it's huge. But there, back to Arena Cross, I think it's good. So if you are, look at the schedule, support it, and then, I don't know, we'll see. Hopefully I'll be there.
You've just said you're riding it. Are you?
Well, I'm actually not. I want to ride it, but things have to fall into place.
You've got a blank check after that shout-out we'll just give.
No checks, brother.
No checks, mate. It's just for the sport. That's what I do it all for, don't I?
There's prize money and stuff, but I just read the email again. They'd made it where it was 250 only. Now it's open. You can choose.
It's
what
a bit different
ride.
Schedule, so you can ride any bike. But this is—I'm not sure even we should say it, but it's not secret, is it? You ride any bike, but you do it in teams. But it's going to be British Championship riders only this year. In the past, you've had all the French come over. They come over, and obviously, they ride Supercross a lot in France, so they're good riders, even if they're not like the best names. But they're fast at Arena Cross, really fast. So they come over, take the prize money, go home, and take it back.
That's the way.
No, it is a little bit. It's the British fans, British riders, and Matt wants to try and push it for the British, which I understand. Like, give back a little bit, and that's what he's trying to do. So, I think that makes it a lot better for.
Is he taking a leaf out of your book for giving back? Because you are Tommy Sell, the give backer at the minute, aren't you?
No, but but just in general, like, I think it's better that it's nice that the British crowd are watching British riders.
I agree. I think it's there's no negatives for the sport for it to happen and for it to be there. It's only positives.
And it's a big thing to do, like to rent arenas.
Yeah,
the big outlay.
Same with anything.
Not so you need ticket sales are vital. Like, it's not like sponsors are covering the costs and any ticket sales are bonus. Like, ticket sales are needed for that to succeed. So it does need support.
Yeah, so like any event, if you want to go or want it to be there, you've got
like
support.
I'd like to. Oh, well, I was going to say 10, but I would also think about racing one.
Like, why wouldn't you be good? Right, you're so good at arena, you're so good at super enduro, not being funny, you'd over all the obstacles, piece of piss.
No, I think I could get around. I obviously don't think I'd win or anything, but I'd be competitive. Like, I could be competitive.
100% you'd be competitive. Like,
I'd stick the nut on anyone.
I don't think many people would be trying to block past you because you fucking won't move.
I mean, I would just, I'd be scared to, if you were behind me. Or just scared if you were on track, because if you're on one way down the lane, you could quite easily come into my lane.
But yeah, that would be good entertainment value, to be fair.
It would be really good. Surely you could just do one this year if you're healthy.
Yeah, I wouldn't be against that. Obviously, I don't know any of the dates yet.
Yeah, whether they'd line up with
you. This email?
Yeah, I've got dates.
We can have a look at that.
No, it's not in that email.
Don't have the dates.
Anyway,
it's going to be, I may get this wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's 2 in Belfast in January, 2 in Aberdeen in January, and then it's Manchester and O2. O2's the last one, so.
Nothing before Christmas?
No.
So nothing before Christmas.
We'll update you as we have more information.
The stadium's all pretty good. Matt reckons the Aberdeen Stadium's one of the best ones he goes to. It's quite far up north, obviously. He says that one's not really, the audience is completely away from motocross. So it's nice to get new people into sport. Belfast is a bit more motocross related.
Not much happening in Aberdeen, so no. Any kind of event that goes on, the whole crowd turns out.
I spoke to him after we called him out.
No disrespect to anyone from Aberdeen.
After we called him out in the last one, I spoke to him and said, do you want to come on and tell us what it is?
Yeah, he'd probably be
and
a good guest.
Like, yeah, he was keen for it. So when there's a bit more
going on,
update, we'll do that.
What?
I did some questions. Shall I flick a few of them up? This one's easy for you to answer. And probably easy for all of us to answer, but for some people that don't understand, any idea why Conrad was riding a KTM at Western when I thought he'd signed for Honda?
Easy, but yeah, I can see the confusion. His contract.
Some people's contracts run out at like November, don't they?
Yeah, I think his is the end of October, so he rides a KTM until
December.
The end of October.
Is it? December to December.
That's quite normal, end of October.
Yeah, everyone's different in it. Depends, obviously, I guess. He was running a private team this year, so he's probably got his
No, but it's KTM.
Yeah, but also
still KTM UK backed, wasn't it?
Well, that's true. But anyway, his deals are probably for the year. You know what I mean? Last race, I don't know. Honda have got quite a good reputation for not finishing that race as well. So,
cool. Bill.
Fucking hell, you won't be riding a Honda anytime soon.
Leave that bit out. I'm just saying. No, I'll leave that bit out.
No, that's fine. I don't ride for him no more, Bill. I mean, well, you just said that about Kawasaki, well, I'd have been fuming.
I don't think that was... I think that probably had nothing to do with it.
No, I think that the bike's fine. It wasn't. No, it had nothing to do with that. It was simply his contract goes to the end of October, and that's normal, you know. Sometimes
it was weird,
off.
Though. I will say, despite the contract situation, it was, if that was the case, it's a bit weird. They announced him riding the Honda earlier.
Bit keen. But my contract with Honda was to the end of October as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But when I went to Honda from Kawasaki, the contract was also to the end of October, and Kawasaki let me out early after winning the British Championship. And then, so they said, Honda and Kawasaki just said, well, it's fair enough. When he came here,
there's one more
you let us release it, so we're happy to do the same, which is good of both parties.
This isn't really a plug, but it's going to end up being one, and he's going to love it. Tommy,
no stickers.
No, Tommy, what is a training day like on your thing, thinking of booking one?
The training days, I generally...
Nah, I'm guessing they want to know the schedule.
I know, but I even say to these, like, I generally say I love doing them. Like, and on the days, the people, the riders go away so happy from a training day. And it's any ability. Sometimes I quite enjoy doing like a more novice rider because you can teach them so much and they improve so much over the day. Same as if I was new to something, you generally don't know what you're doing. So simple things make the biggest difference. But then also I'm able to help the faster riders, little things. But I generally, I mean, it's off subject, but enjoy the training day, seeing the people improve. It gives me great joy.
That wasn't his question.
No, but for the question... The training days, you have a warm-up and then you have three coaching sessions, so like three where you may break the track down. It may be a full track if it's a smaller track. Normally, you break the track down. You'll work on body position. You'll work on you work on everything that's involved in motocross.
He borrowed
really.
My van the other day to go to one, and there's now some cones left in it, so I'm guessing there's a bit of cone work.
Yeah, no,
there?
You do.
No stone left unturned.
It's what's the cones for? It's not breaking?
Always, yeah, because no, it depends on the riders as well. It depends on the riders. The majority of riders.
And the group,
what,
I get.
What they want to learn, if they're, you know.
There's never a set thing that's like, it's not like braking, body position, corners, jumps. Like I assess the group on the day and then we work on body positions and everything ties in. But the main thing is corners, ruts, and your... Overall, it all ties in through the day. It's not one strict thing like body position jumps are set out for every day.
Are you making a rider not necessarily faster? You're just making them more consistent, more fluid.
No,
more.
Well,
and then that makes them
general.
Faster.
You can't a rider that stayed the same for 10 years is normally doing something wrong. So you can't improve. The same as when I ride a road bike around Donington, I feel like I'm at my limit, but I'm going 25 seconds lap slower than Alex Lowe. It's like. So you can go faster, but I generally feel the way I'm riding that bike that I can't go faster. So clearly,
you need
I'm
to
worried
change.
About going around that corner, but I'm going around it so slow, but I still feel like I'm on the limit of that corner. Same when I watch people, they go around the corner, the front pushes away.
Why do you look at me when you see that?
Yeah, no, not do, but same thing. But you're doing it on a much higher level, but... There's always a reason why everything's happening. It may be the bike or it may be your body position. Normally body position, where you open the throttle in a corner, where you use a brake in a corner. And everyone does something a little bit different. So it's like when you watch a video and you think that you can then go apply that to yourself, but you don't realize what you're doing and someone stops you and just explains to you and breaks it down exactly the reason why you're making that same mistake every time.
You might have seen a video of somebody and think, okay, that's what I need to do differently, but realistically the 10 steps before leading up to that image you've got in your head are all wrong, so it's impossible for you to be in that position.
They know, they've watched videos normally and they can see how you ride a bike, but to then when they get on the bike and what they actually do on the bike is completely different to what they're trying to do and what they think they're doing. And even when I say, I'm like, you're doing this, and they're like, no, and I'm like, trust me, mate. Like, I'm not fucking having you on here. And it's quite stern with them. And I tell them,
it's like going to fucking
school. No, I want them to. I generally want them to learn. So if they keep doing the wrong thing, then I'm just going to say, look, fucking hell, mate. Just slow down. And normally you have to slow down, take a step back to take 2 steps forward. Like, I'd rather they done it slowly, correctly, because to build confidence, you have to do it consistently right. Like if you're doing it wrong, you can do it fast, but your confidence never goes up, and if it does, you're then going to have a big crash because you've got too much confidence. So it's like breaking stuff down, slowing stuff down to then build it up and be safer. And then you generally enjoy riding much more if you do it right, because you don't have moments, you feel consistent, and getting corners nice feels nice. But if you get it wrong every time, you're dragging your legs and you're tucking the front, it's just a wind up. Well, it is for me anyway. If I get it wrong, it really pisses me off.
Well, this leads nicely into the next question, saying, is Billy ever going to do any enduro training days?
Yeah, I've done some before and I will do some again. Just leads quite a busy lifestyle at this moment in time. And if I do them, I'd want to do like it properly as kind of, not an event or like a ride day, but I'd want to do.
Yeah, not just turn up
like,
and come
and around. I will, at some point, I will do it. And I often do think like, I do quite look forward to a bit later down the line and helping. I'd like to help. I will do training days for everybody, but at some point I would also like to, you know, help a few specific riders individually and more of like a higher end, because I think there's a lot of things, areas that I've learned things and improved on, kind of aside.
I think your calling in life would be helping the trials riders make the switch, because more and more seem to be doing it, don't they?
Yeah, that wouldn't be bad, but I think I've learned a lot. Obviously, I've got quite a vast experience. Obviously, the years of trials, this switchover, which was a very erratic period of my life. You know, I have spent the last 2 years, I really haven't rode much motocross at all, but for the bit of time before that, I spent a lot of time doing it. And the year we did the West Championship, I spent a lot of time in the sand and did a couple of beach races and was working, you know, with some good people. I worked a lot with Toff Mayer, who worked a lot with Nathan when he made the switch over, and I learned a lot from him. And then, like, even aside from the bike, obviously, the various kind of, like, coaches and people that I've always kind of been very observant and took a lot from kind of everyone I spoke to, which I think's helped us a lot. So I do feel like I have quite a lot to give, which I'm sure some lucky people at some point will reap the rewards from.
If you ever took anything from me and thought that's quite good,
I've spotted a lot. Don't worry, I've got eyes everywhere. I'm much more of a thinker than people realise.
Really?
People think I'm just a fucking idiot that goes flat out into everything. But
you've watched me and gone.
I'm switched on at a lot of things.
I've watched you at loads of things, like a minute ago taking your fucking suspension out your bike. Thing. How can you possibly ride a bike the way you ride a bike?
I don't mean
and
in
do
that sense.
So well, and then you're just a flopper. Stuff like that.
Everyone has something they're good at.
No, I don't mean in that sense. I've picked up a lot. Don't worry.
From riding?
Yeah, all sorts.
No, thanks.
You ain't learned how to scrub yet.
Hmm?
Not learned how to scrub or whip yet.
Yeah, yes.
Fuck off.
He's
a trials rider. You show me a fucking another one.
Scrub? Oh, some of the scrubs you were doing. To be fair, you got really bloody good at motocross like 2 years ago. Even when then you went to...
When I was in Spain, the year Super Enduro got cancelled completely. So
2020.
Yeah.
That winter when I was in Spain, I was the boy at fucking scrubbing.
Oh, I see one. I can picture one. The one track where you was going like...
The little tabletop. It was silly. I'm definitely not faster on the lap time, but when I ride my Super Enduro bike, which is a 350 with like low gearing, so it almost feels like a 250 around a motocross track.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
The lap time probably isn't faster, but I feel like such a fucking hero hanging off it and just revving the nuts off it. It's nice.
Yeah, you was fast, but you was fast that year in lockdown. Mm. And then, so it was the 20... What year was the...
That was 2020.
Was that after the race we had?
So that winter.
Yeah, that winter.
The race at Havering.
In fact, no, it was Havering. It was 2021 championship
still
that got cancelled.
No, you won the 2020 world title.
No, 2021. I won 19 the year after my broken leg.
2020 was when COVID was. 2020.
2020 was Havering. We raced together.
Yeah, that was. Oh, anyway, whatever. I think it was that winter after that. Yeah, in fact, it was that winter after that.
It was, yeah.
Because I went to Spain and everyone was like, Super Enduro has been cancelled.
But then what disappointed me a lot is you then...
The Hoxton.
Yeah.
Bad dude.
I bigged you up. He's coming for a win here.
Did you do a pro national or something?
He's coming for the win.
I did MX National, that was terrible. But my defence was, when we did Havering, I was using my beach race suspension still, which was 2 years before,
soft. So fast at Havering.
But it was what I was used to.
But it was rough as well.
So then I did Hoxton and I was like, I'm doing a motocross race. I need motocross suspension. So WP sent us some motocross suspension and I didn't practice on it once.
I bolted it in
for Hoxton thinking that the bike was like nothing. I just couldn't get on with it. I had such bad arm pump. I felt the back end felt so high and obviously it's a sand track, so it was pushing us forward into everywhere. It was just a terrible scene of events. Yeah, I did let you down. I left honestly feeling really disappointed because
industry insiders that you was coming for the win.
Well, that was
someone's actually put that. Are you guys going to race Hawkstone this year?
I see it was released the other day. I haven't even looked what date, but it's tricky that one. It's probably I like it and I'm feeling better. I may race it. Yeah,
you rode Sam last week, and you couldn't wait to tell her how good you were.
No, the difference on my Kawasaki, I feel a lot better in those conditions. Both bikes have pluses and minuses, and the plus to the Kawasaki is the sandy conditions. It rides so much easier, and I'll be a lot faster in the tracks. I struggled on the Honda after jumping back on the Kawi. I can see why I struggled. So Hawkstone, I'd be good in the conditions. But it just seems what's going on. It's one of those races. It's at the end, beginning of the year. It's normally wet, flooded. If it, I don't want to fucking wobble around there.
Does that mean you can now answer the question that we keep getting asked? What's better, Cowie or Honda?
Oh, is that on there?
All the time. And every comment, really? Every comment as well.
But to be fair, I'm not surprised because I get comments saying, what is your favourite bike? Or what bike between KTM, Gas, Husky? Well, no, that's a bad example. But
well, it's quite a...
People ask me all the time, like, what bike would you ride if it wasn't a Husqvarna? I'm just like, well, probably not going to answer that.
Yeah, you can't really
No,
say.
You can't answer that. But it's quite a sensible question because people go out there and buy bikes and they're like, well, I might be buying a 450 Honda or 450 Cowie. But the...
Yeah, but you're also using them completely different. For me, I would want a bike that rides nice and smooth. You want one that's fast and
yeah,
agile.
But you still feel the pluses and the positives and the negatives from both bikes. The Honda turns really well. It is good in the corners, but then that the way I set my bike up and for how good it turns, that then hindered me when I got to racetracks because the front was so low. And when I tried to level the bike up, I struggled. And then that's where the Kawasaki is so good. The balance of the bike, it drives forward a lot better. It comes into corners better. And it goes over the big stuff better. And I feel a lot more confident in those. But then,
well, you've lost the front feeling though.
No, I haven't. Because then I changed the offset to what Dylan was using like in the Supercross settings. And then that gave me the feel that I was getting from the Honda on the front end. So there's a lot of pluses to that. But then... Some tracks, the Honda was so good around like a smooth track with no ruts, no bumps. You had so much feel with the bike. So they're both different, but I think I'll race the Cowie better because I have that much more confidence to actually push the Honda. I was really good when I was in control, but I never wanted to go out of my comfort zone where I feel quite happy out of my comfort zone and actually enjoy getting a bit loose on the Kawasaki. There was a track I went to last week that I put a little reel up on.
Who's that?
Don't say that. I can't say the track name. I've always been banned from using the track name before. But there's one section that I used to jump, and I'd done it for the video for an Instagram reel on the Honda.
Into the right-hander.
Yeah. But on the Cowie, I just done it every lap. And I was like, I could come up short and I could get a bit squirrely and coming out the corners because the front end sits a little bit higher. But so again, each bike has their pluses and their minuses or whatever, positive,
Raptors
negatives.
Raptors on your Cowie, so the feel will be so much better.
Yeah, the
better,
Raptors
to be
are good.
Fair,
it's hard to choose a bike. Obviously, now I'm on Kawasaki, but they both do things differently. But racing, I think I'll prefer the Kawasaki.
Someone actually wrote on here, Jeffrey J24, I just spent £300 on Raptor pegs. Any more collabs in the pipeline?
No, but I think we should do more. It's not really, well, I guess that's like a limited edition set, but I think...
Was that more expensive than a normal set?
I think not much, though. Well, it was 250 plus VAT, which I think is the normal price.
I like mine. Good.
But what I was... That was like obviously a limited run, but just in terms of general, like the collab and signature parts and stuff, I think such a... Well, it's something that's just not done in the motorbike world and like it's massive in the mountain bike world, and I don't really know why it's not done more.
What? As in
like collabs, like...
Every mountain biker has a set of signature bars,
signature grips, signature pedals. And I don't know why we don't do it more. It annoys us a bit, really. So if any other brands want to
you
do
two
some
have got
signature
checks.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like we are...
In fact, I'll take this moment because there's a couple of Kex questions on here.
Yeah, you, Ed.
No, well, I just thought I'd get it out because I keep getting the same DM. I've had a lot of people saying...
Have your moment to shine.
Saying, when's the Kex raincoat coming? That is coming... probably next year now because of Chinese New Year.
Things happen a lot. Everything takes longer.
Yeah. They've also said, any more plans with Kex for ride socks, etc.? Yes, ride socks are in production.
Did you get a sample of them?
Yeah. You had them? Yeah. But I've got another sample coming and then they're going straight into production. They just need to change the band and a few other
bits. I'm excited for them because I always ask 100% for theirs and they're always out of stock.
No, so they're coming.
I've actually got some that are a little bit small for me at Stan's house.
Really?
Yeah.
Brand new?
Yeah, three or four sets in a packet.
Oh, I'd like them.
Stan's probably got them for sale now, though, so you'll have to ask him if you can wrap them off.
Well, mine will be again probably next year now. And then we've also got another one. We're doing women's, which will be next year, definitely. And that will be sports bras, pants, thongs.
And I've tried them.
Leggings. Yeah, you look fucking great in them. They are. So yeah, plenty of new Keck stuff coming up. Try not to DM me and ask me.
The change that's coming for the pants?
Change.
New colour waistbands.
Okay. Oh, he's not shy of fucking just blurting really, things out to Daisy.
I really like them.
Yeah,
it's a big change and it's... I can't wait to get them.
They're not all getting changed. There's just some new waist... Some of the new styles match... Why can't I talk? You do explain.
I'll do it. So there's more designs coming, as there always is. We've got some different colour waistbands that match the prints, don't match the prints, work with the prints, all different stuff. We've also got 2XL coming as well.
Oh, that's good.
In this new set. So they're going to be, again...
For you big boys.
Maybe before Christmas. Definitely after. It's just depending on shipping and all that. They're actually due to sail in 4 days. But then our mates at HMRC will probably hold them up.
They are good. The colours, I can't wait to get them. Ed's got some up in the garage.
No, I've not.
Yellow
not.
Ones.
They're on the way to my man to take some photos of
them. Oh, okay.
For the website.
But no, very, very... I've been saying that for well over a year. It's finally done it.
Yeah.
I'm the brains behind that Keck's program.
It's because I have to make such a big quantity of the band. It's not... You have to have thousands of metres of it.
No, I see that. But it's good it's happened now. It's mega.
Very
it's like
good.
A big... Big
What's happening with the three chairs? The other three. I seen them at Western this weekend.
Oh, did Gareth take them?
They were there. They didn't really get used. Where did I see them again?
They never get used.
I didn't even sit on them at all. I walked past them only once. I think I scooted past them on my electric scooter once.
What my plan is actually with them is to give them away.
Well, that's what I was thinking. That's what I was leading up for.
Yeah, I'm thinking, I don't know how yet, but I'm going to give them three away and then I'm going to give the three that we're sat in here to Gareth and then we're going to have three new ones. Different styles.
Oh, yeah, of the new prints.
We have just a little bit of a rotation.
Yeah. Get a few made and then give them away. I don't know how to give them away or raffle them or something.
It's a big giveaway that needs to be something good.
I thought raffle them of some description and whatever the money makes, chuck it back into some form of a charity or some form of making British motocross better.
Yeah, I think we should give it to some back into motocross or bikes.
Or three. There's three chairs. Maybe raffle one, give one to the Jude Morris Foundation, raffle the other, give that to something else.
Yeah, that's a good idea. One for Jude Morris, one to give back to some form of racing kids, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
We'll just pocket the money off the other one.
No, I reckon do them cheap so like you don't feel bad, like a quid a ticket, but I want to obviously get some...
I was thinking about 10 or 50.
Nah,
I'm only joking.
You can buy 10 tickets if you want. I think the more tickets, the better.
I agree.
I'm sure we can make a Squarespace website that will do that.
Squarespace will do that quite easily. You could use one of the pre-built templates.
Can I?
That.
Come on, you're not getting paid for it on the podcast,
mate. No, I'll try it for next year's deal.
I've got one that keeps messing me. A wallet and a keychain. It looks quite nice, actually.
Very good.
If you see that on a video, you'll be able to
rustle them up yourself now. You've got a new lens on the way. That is
another question which I thought we could answer, seeing as we've not really got a great deal of motorbike news to talk about. Someone said, can you talk us through your camera and lens setup and how you go about sighting and filming a vlog?
You two just fucking have your moment because that's what I hear all day these two. Oh, you got that one? This one? Are you lost, Tom? Yeah, I was lost before
To be fair, I've gone quite nerdy with camera stuff. I do really enjoy
it's
it.
It's nice, though. I'll look at my phone. Well, I've got a 16-something on mine. That's all I know about.
The camera setup isn't really that important. I would say if anyone that's starting out, because a lot of people are starting vlogging nowadays, seen a few people at VIP doing it, the most important thing I would suggest you get to start with is probably a microphone.
Yeah, even if you're using your phone, I would get a microphone.
Because your
phone camera's fucking good these days. And that the new one, the 14, is like ridiculous what you can do on an iPhone. But
no one's going to watch it if they can't hear it or there's wind blowing at it or like... Yeah, you just got to make it easy for someone to watch and listen to.
Audio, I'd say, is most important. There's various ways you can plug a microphone into a phone, but anyone that you get will be better than your normal mobile. And it usually, with more stuff like that, like it, quality and price is pretty, there's a pretty clear correlation usually. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Microphones particularly.
Yeah. You can obviously spend it a lot.
You spend 30 quid for it.
Just do some research. To be honest with you, anything I've ever known or learned or anything to do with videos, I've only ever watched YouTube. So
me too.
Just watch YouTube videos on stuff of a camera of a how to edit, a tutorial of how to do something.
And realistically, they're all good. They're all more than capable for what you're going to need to do on YouTube. It's just how nerdy you want to go. And like I say, I enjoy it. It's like, aside from riding, it's pretty much my only hobby anyway, so it's what I enjoy
doing. I would highly suggest, albeit GoPros are great for riding the bike, I would definitely wouldn't suggest vlogging on
if
a GoPro.
If you use GoPro, you really do need a microphone for vlogging, for talking.
And just it's so small to like even change the settings and link it to your phone.
And if you do vlog with a GoPro, which is fine, like a lot of people, like Adam Cinderella's vlogs and stuff, or GoPro, put it on wide. Don't do selfie on Super View because it makes you feel sick.
No, but there's, again, there's a lot to do with it. Final Cut Pro is what we all use. Oh, me and Billy, because Tommy's.
I've got Final Cut Pro. Cost me £330, I think.
He's forgot his password to his laptop.
No,
it's not remotely surprising.
I did forget my password. I'm obviously not good, but I sort of remember it. I try and do one, and I learn the buttons, and then I have them 2 months off, and then I forget everything that I learned on that one time I tried it, and I'm back to square one, and I try again, get into it. So I need to be more consistent. But I've just actually sent an email to buy how much money.
But that's what I was about to say. The reason we got onto this topic is because Tom's made a big purchase this morning.
Well, he's not. He's about to.
So you've got. We'll go a little bit technical for the people that that want to know.
Okay, so I use a Canon R5. I use two of them because I find it a lot easier when I'm at a race to have one with a long lens on and one with a wide lens, so you can switch between them. On one of the cameras, I have a 14-35 RF 2.8. lens, and on the other I have a 70-200 RF 2.8 lens.
This is far,
that's
far,
well exaggerated. This is expensive gear,
upper universe of what most people are going to need.
Both of those have Rode VideoMic Pro microphones on, and both of them have Polar Pro Peter McKinnon variable ND filters on, so that you can keep the frame rate. But that, I've told you basically everything I've got there. And
Tom's is probably the best setup to go from because his is more a little more amateur than us, although it's still pretty odd. So he's Canon R6. He used to have a prime lens, which means there's no zoom of 16mm, but now he's decided he wants to do some more B-roll and close-up and get some more shots. So he's gone for a 24-105mm lens, which is what I use on a Sony, but that's what I use. And you can kind of get away with just about everything with that lens, but obviously he's still got his wide one. And one thing I would recommend,
over a grand.
How's it?
What, £1,200, wasn't it? That
you're investing in your future.
No, I know. I'm not moaning. YouTube. I'm just saying, for like, it's a lot of money.
One thing I would say is, get an SSD.
Yeah, get a hard drive of some description.
And a SIM card. You can't take no pictures without a SIM.
No,
card.
You need a SIM. Probably an SD.
SD would be better.
SD card. Yeah,
that's the one. That's. We've probably got no viewers left. There's camera nerds that are still here. Big love.
No, because there was honestly five questions of similar thing. Yeah.
People do ask me,
five
to be fair.
On it,
what the camera I would recommend, if you're like super, super beginner but want to do it, there's a camera called a Sony SV1, which is small and it's cheap. I think it's like £600 you can get it for now. Get that and a microphone. And honestly, what you can do, and that's pretty impressive. Like that's what I have. Because it's literally the same size as a GoPro. You can put it in your pocket at a race. I have it as my backup camera in case I run out of battery or whatever. And I've even filmed full vlogs on it. And that's, of all like the beginner cameras, it's point and shoot, so you don't need to change the lens or anything. And it's, for the size and the price, it's pretty amazing what you can do with it. So that's my tip.
Yeah.
And then if you want to go large, do your research, because everyone has their own preferences.
I've just always used Canon stuff, so I know the menus and that. And then I didn't have anything near the level of what we had. And then when we filmed the video,
we just upgraded as we needed it, really. Didn't we?
Did a movie for Bill, and one of the requests was 4K, 8K, this, that, and the other. So we had to splurge a little bit.
I think you should cut this and put it in its own thing, so the actual viewers haven't had to listen to that.
Well, no, because people are interested. A lot of people ask.
Nah, people do ask. More people than you realise, I think, want to do vlogs.
More people are trying to start vlogs, more and more.
Yeah,
everyone just took the piss.
They've seen how it's revived your career.
Well, it's quite good to make, because then you've got your own thing to watch and show people.
I watch my own videos, and I actually find them entertaining. Like the ones from 2 years ago.
Yeah, but if I mean, like in general, if someone like the guy come on my coaching day the other day, I watched his vlog, and he's obviously just amateur. His dad was filming it, but I watched all the 10-minute vlog, and I was like, fair play, that's nice. That was good 10 minutes.
I watch, I don't even have an aerial in my TV or any kind of...
Just the YouTube.
Only thing I ever watch is YouTube. Occasionally Netflix. Roxy watches Netflix, but I'll just YouTube, that's all.
I just think that doing vlogs and putting yourself out there, even if you didn't do vlogs, you just wanted to make cool reels or something different, it opens doors, opportunities to do things, go places.
Yeah, like
the
shit I've learned since we started doing it, and then obviously do the merch and stuff like that, and I'm quite into Illustrator and learning about that kind of shit, and it does give you such a good platform.
You're very good at doing it all yourself now. That is most impressive, because I can't... I need to be a lot better than
you do. You need to take the burden off my shoulders.
Ed and Tom, we didn't have a fallout, but I could just sense that Ed was sick of it, and then Tom kept asking for more and more requests, and Ed just flipped.
I'll tell you where it came from. So, the video you'll have all seen of Tommy riding his new bike on his Cowie, where he did the bit around the building site or whatever. We then filmed the riding part on the Monday. Cowie and everyone wanted to release the press release on the Tuesday. So I filmed all day Monday, podcasted Monday night, 7 p.m. I left it here, went home. Then I sat in the office until 10:30 and I still hadn't done it. So then I was up at 5:30 trying to do keks and all the other manner of bullshit and edit that to then come back and ride. And I'd burnt myself out.
Yeah, you had.
And then he's going, them pictures you just took, like, can I fucking post one yet?
No, that was the next week where I wound you up. That was 2 weeks ago. Yeah, that was last week. You was upset.
I knew
you was upset, though.
I just fucking burnt out.
That's why I come trials riding with you.
That just wound him up even more.
Oh, no, that was the day he was angry, wasn't it?
Yeah, trials, the afternoon riding was angry, because then you started going on about merch and you come with your shitty little sketches.
Oh, yeah, because I want new merch out, but I can't do any of it myself.
Yeah, you don't understand the website, what that entails, do you?
I know. Oh, it's fucking...
Do you know the other bit that annoyed me, Bill? What? He obviously, again...
Well, Bill texts me and says, ask him for something now. And I'm like, no. And he's like, go on, ask him.
He went in my bag at the trials place and took my camera bag out the other camera bag and then fucking splattered batteries and shit all over with dirty bikes. And I was just like, for fuck's sakes, man.
He FaceTimed me whilst busy driving my van down the road, which I knew my e-bike was already loose in the back of it. I was like, Willie's just dropped my bike off. So I just had visions of like his championship bike now just laid clean on top of my brand new e-bike in the back of my van, which you've got to drive rather delicately as it is.
Clutch is slipping.
The clutch slips quite bad on it. I had to tell Ed to slow down the other day because he kept pulling away.
Yeah, I didn't touch the throttle. I just let it chug all the way.
So you got to do. It's a bit annoying on a motorway when you're just going.
Cars were just passing me all the time. I'm like, I can't even touch the throttle because it just goes.
You'd be quite good at nursing a clutch after your career, though, are you?
Yeah, I know how to nurse a clutch. That's not even a bad. I don't think I've burnt a clutch out. I don't burn clutches out.
No, because you've got a mechanic that swaps them before it gets to the point.
Oh, I can. I know it. I'm a lot more delicate on a clutch now. I have more respect for a bike now than I did.
I've just watched you taking you on apart.
No, not taking them on apart, but like a clutch now, I know when I'm being outrageous on one. So in a race situation, I wouldn't burn one out now because I'd make sure. Like at destinations, I went so careful around the whole track because the last thing I wanted to do was burn a clutch out.
How'd that go for you?
Fine, my clutch was good, but I don't know how the other guys at the top race their bikes like they do on the clutch.
Well,
like
I was thinking...
Fernandez, Tomac.
I was thinking yesterday...
My bike
Weston,
wouldn't do two laps.
I was stood near the end of the race, kind of like in like the...
Have you been to Weston?
Where was there this weekend?
How was
selling,
it?
Selling. In the like media bit, which you like could see quite a bit of the track, and it's like a slow section, and the smells that were coming off the bike. And then I was thinking like, 3 hours in this scenario is hard on a bike. And like, obviously, the last year I did it, I came from the back. So I was like roosting, going like a fucking lunatic. And I had a moment just thinking, God, my bikes have done well to make it through this both times.
How heavy Tomac is.
The first time I did Weston as well, it was a completely stock engine, only 5 gears. Born stock 450 I did it on, and it didn't miss a beat. And I was like, they're pretty good. The take abuse of these motorbikes, like, hard.
How was Weston?
It was good. again, well.
Busy?
Yeah, I think Saturday I was a bit surprised by how quiet it was, but then Sunday, I think as what normally happens, like it people turned up and it was busy. Not
to pay?
To go and watch, yeah. Yeah, you need tickets to get in.
Yeah, they closed the beach off well, really well. I remember going...
It's pretty heavily secured
both,
and stuff.
From both sides?
Yeah, you can hardly get
can't
in.
Can't even get in by boat.
No, it's... Well, boat, you might be able to have a go. A bit sketchy walking across the
start. There
was
actually some people playing in the waves on the Saturday like afternoon on jet skis, and I thought, what, they must be cold.
Yeah.
Just one of them was on a stand-up. He kept crashing, bless him. But no, it was good. It was busy. I think it was... it is such a big event, such a good event. I think it is probably the biggest off-road event in the country. And I know Gareth gets a lot of stick for everything he does, but I honestly can't fault him. I think he does an amazing job. I can't imagine the ag and the hassle he must have putting that event on. Things he has to deal with. Like it's even just what I witnessed, kind of I was in and out like trying to blag some more passes and seeing him and blah blah blah. So I was in and out of the office quite a bit throughout the weekend, and like I could just see the shit he was having to deal with in the background, and it was like it's a massive job putting that event on. And I think it all went well. It rained a lot, but the track held up pretty good. Well,
I was listening to a podcast about Red Bull Straight Rhythm and matey saying how much hoops you have to jump through to put that on, and then it's not even not even a fraction of the
track wasn't even on the beach
on.
Either.
That's what I mean. They literally put the grandstands up, bring some dirt in, bosh, 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 build a track.
Yeah, that
and
track
then they
wasn't
race
even
it.
On the beach. And like when I in as well, like
Weston's way worse, isn't it?
Oh my god!
And for some reason, I hadn't before took into consideration the actual scale of it. Like the straight is 2 kilometers long. That's how long it goes up the beach.
And the building they done.
That's
on
what
the
I
beach
mean.
This
yeah.
Time. Like the
just think of the amount of. Metal fencing to put
yeah
out.
Fencing alone the straight is double layered in some places triple when you have like a marsh like a flag box which is where you can like veer into in case your bike blows up or whatever
yeah
triple layered for 2 kilometers straight and then obviously it weaves coming back so coming back it's probably 5-6 kilometers worth because the track does this like it is such an impressive event and if you've never been like I honestly would recommend it to anyone just to kind of experience.
I've never
what
been.
What was on the start of...
Have
I
you
did,
never been?
No.
Never once.
Honestly.
Never been to Weston.
Just seeing it and seeing the street and the bikes, you just go, wow.
You've got to enter it and never go, otherwise you'll never enter it.
Yeah, you'll be scared.
Yeah, I am scared. That's why...
The
I'm
start when it's
go
going...
I volunteered myself to go and open the gate on the start. Well, actually, it was Keith. Well, Keith gave us the idea because Keith said Keith normally does it. When I went for breakfast on Thursday,
Keith normally opens it.
Keith's normally one of the start men with the Wainwrights and that. Yeah, he's like, oh, you know, like he was just saying, like, oh, he lets us park in the paddock or whatever. I go and open the gate, blah, blah, blah. And obviously, he didn't do it this year because he had whatever. And I was kind of on Saturday, I was like, this vlog's a bit dead, really, like, because I couldn't put really much effort into filming the racing and filming the track. I'd like to go and film the kids a bit more and film some carnage on the sand dunes, but I was too busy and I didn't have enough time because it's a big distance you've got to cover to go and walk to see all the track. I was like, oh, this vlog's a bit dead. And then for some reason, it just came in my head, like, oh, it'd be quite good putting a GoPro on and going to open the gate when everyone... Because I know what it feels like on the other side when I've been first to the gate and fucking I'm smashing into it, trying to get through it. So I decided to go and ask if I could do it and that all kind of... came together. And
when can we see this vlog?
Hopefully about the same time this come out. The next couple of days, obviously, it only happened yesterday. I started putting it together last night. Maybe it's end of today or tomorrow. It should be ready.
How are you going to do that with a 20-hour drive to Spain?
Oh, you're driving to Spain?
Yeah. It's got to be done, Tom. It's got to be done. Anyway.
Today?
I don't know. I haven't decided yet. I do really need to because I kind of do live there in Andorra and... You get, but I've got. Now I've hurt my finger. It's kind of a bit like.
Yeah, what are you gonna do there?
But so anyway, I was just the noise from because of 800 bikes taken off down a 2 kilometer street all together is just like fucking. It is really good. So I enjoyed it. Always is a good weekend. Obviously went with my. Harry Hemingway came and helped out on the ride nutrition stand, and James, who's one of the other lads who's kind of part of it, and we had a good weekend. Hung out with Dougie quite a bit, which is always nice.
Good old dog.
Yeah, he's good. You know, speaking of like observing and learning from people, like he's a good person to sit and have a beer with or go and have food with and just kind of listen.
You like Mr. Dougie Lampkin, don't you?
I've got a lot of time for him.
He's a good lad. I just think
fair play. He's nice to be around. He's won everything there is to win in his sport, and he's just sound.
I think it's so mint. He was obviously as successful as he was, like 12 times world champion, blah, 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 and then he's still there. Pissing down with rain Sunday morning at Weston, and he's still there riding over his boxes doing his shows. Like, and I felt a bit bad because usually I give him a hand to pack his sections up or whatever, but because we were coming back up to here and then the other boys were going all the way back up to their place and we had to unload vans and stuff, we just set off, and then he sent me a message saying he was only leaving after packing his sections away at 8:30 last night, only leaving Weston beachfront, and I just thought he's like a proper grafter.
Yeah, like, good just on him.
Does his lad do the shows with him?
His son was doing it.
Can we get him on here? Can you come?
Yeah, he'd actually be a really good.
Yeah, one. Next time you're back, get Dougie on.
Yeah, Doug would be.
Doug's a good lad. I like a good chat with Doug.
He's good just to learn everything about bike riding, business.
How was he on a motocross bike?
No, he's got good stories. He did Red Bull Knockout one of its original years, like when because he did a few hard enduro races, but he was never keen for going fast, and he's just telling him about how scared he was on the start line for Red Bull Knockout, and Potter said come past
him. Well,
that's
a hard race to go.
Yeah,
into.
Yeah, proper deep riding on like just a 450 beat.
Weston.
Yeah, Weston would have been a bit more for him, but yeah, he goes every year, does his shows, and just likes being a part of it. But in general, good weekend. Weston never disappoints.
Oh well, shall we wrap it up? We've sort of rambled on about all manner of shite there. Anything else to add? Oh, I've got something to add. I'm after a Husqvarna bill. You got anyone that you can get me a deal on?
What, you want 350?
I think I want a 250. Yeah. Oh,
still after that 125?
Well, yeah, I was waiting for that. That's gone. 125, I was going to have all summer.
All year, I'm getting a 125. Bill's on it.
Yeah, well, I did send an email, and then it never went. Actually, Steve Pete jumped the queue, and he got a 150 for his lad.
Well, I'd like a 250. Yeah,
basically, Ed got dropped when Petey said he wanted a bike.
That's what's happened there, then.
I don't mind with that. I'll buy one. I'm happy to buy one.
I will sort one out. I think we'll try and get something together.
What is it I need? An FC? FE?
No, you want an FE. But I think you want a 350, because 250 would be difficult to clear the jumps up here.
I'm not too worried about jumping it, mate. It's just more having fun.
Well, you're going to ride the track. You want to clear the jumps.
Is this for the track and enduro?
I just thought I'd have an all-rounder.
He wants an enduro bike and set it up on the stiffer side so when he comes to motocross tracks, he can have fun still.
Yeah.
So that's why I think a 350 is better, because it's soft power on a standard enduro bike anyway.
I'll have an FE 350. If anyone's got one of them, cheap, or Bill can...
Any dealers want to sponsor an episode? We're very flexible with negotiations for this podcast.
We can definitely do that.
That's the beauty of it. It gives such versatility.
Yeah, it's good.
We'll do a collection video. I'll come and get it. You can film it, and you can be my mechanic for the first race.
You sure you want to do it in that order?
That was a good video.
I think you'd rather have a shit vlog, but a bike that's together. Well, wouldn't
me, I'd rather.
That was good filming. No.
I actually said to Stan last week, well, it was a bit late when I had the idea, but I said you should go and race Western, and I'll pick crew you. How good a vlog would that have been?
Yeah, it would have been. And he loves beach races.
Yeah, he was like, I thought about it, but he actually did a beach race the week before.
He's done two weekends in a row.
No, it was Saturday, Sunday, last weekend. Bournemouth.
I thought he'd done one before that, though. He's done two.
Bournemouth were 20 minuters, though, weren't they?
Yeah, no, he didn't. He'd only done Bournemouth.
Skeggy?
Yeah, not this year. But he does usually do them all. And I said, why don't you do it? And he loves Weston. He gets on really well with Gareth and everything. So we could easily pull it together. And I was like, I was so keen for it to go and get on the pit board and fucking dump the fuel in, get the goggles ready. I love a bit of goggle prep. And he just wasn't having it. So everyone go and tell Stan I'll not finish our turns.
No.
Right.
Start that again.
But yeah, thanks very much for watching it.
For watching.
We're probably not going to see Bill for a while. He's going to Spain. We have got a call-in / portable one. We'll try.
Yeah, you
can
just get
out
a guest. Who?
Yeah, we'll sort something out. We'll get something together.
Matt Bates, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully Matt Bates. A few others. Doc Wobb's due to come back on. He wants to talk about
his... likes a good bit of air time, doesn't he?
Yeah, it'd be nice, actually, for him to fill us in about the whole event, because that was a huge success.
He wants to talk about his event, what he did right and wrong, and what's coming up, because he's doing it again.
Tell him bring some spanners if he comes.
Yeah, that is a point.
I promised my dad them for his birthday last May.
Well, Christmas is coming up, so we'll have three sets of
titanium.
Poor
Dave, I had a birthday or a Christmas present because I keep telling them they're coming.
Right, we'll catch you all soon.
Ta-ra.
deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.